Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Hired, the world's most intelligent talent matching platform for full-time and contract tech talent actively looking for their next opportunity. Hired helps you connect quickly and meaningfully with qualified talent, more affordably than traditional agencies and more effectively than social networking sites and job boards. They combine cutting-edge data science and personal touch to surface and recommend the right talent from 17 cities around the world, offering you global reach and local expertise. Plus, 75% of job offers made to hired candidates are accepted. Hack the Entrepreneur listeners can try Hired for free by going to hired.com/hack. Plus, as a special bonus, you will enjoy a $2,000 credit on your first hire. Again, that's hired.com/hack.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an organizer, leader, and an executive assistant turned entrepreneur. She began her career as an executive assistant to keynote speakers, best-selling authors, and public figures. But through hard work, determination, and ambition, my guest began getting requests for work with more and more clients. Yet, there was only one of her to do the work. So, she founded Priority VA, started hiring virtual assistants. Today, she has grown a team of 54 VAs working under her. Her husband has also joined her full-time in the business, and she shows no sign of slowing down. Now, let's hack Trevinia Barber. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Braintree. If you think back, do you remember that first dollar you made in business? And now, do you want to grow to make your millionth or billionth? Well, have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one integration, and it does not matter what currency your customers use because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how your company can grow with Braintree, visit braintreepayments.com/hack. That's braintreepayments.com/hack to get started with Braintree today. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Trevinia, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. This is going to be an absolute blast, I can tell. So let's jump into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, Trevinia, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That is such a great question. I think that likely the biggest contributor to my success is that I haven't reached that point where I feel like I've arrived, right? Like I treat every day like I'm still building a business, not as if I have some, you know, great gold mine in front of me. And I think it really just helps me to stay focused on my goals and not get lazy when it comes to working hard every day. I know that really all of this can go away in a moment's notice. So I work like I'm going to lose it. It's really both a blessing and a curse, really, but it's helped me to keep moving forward when I think it would be really easy to just stay flat at this level of success and just be like, you know, okay, we've got it. Let's just stay steady. I keep pushing that envelope because I don't think I've arrived yet.
That's interesting. I work like I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
So you walk, I guess, some sort of fine line between where you are and obviously knowing that it's not going to just disappear tomorrow.
Sure.
But also that you want to grow, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like if we get too stagnant in where we are in our business, I think it can take just a few little changes that you can start to see slippage in your business. And so I continuously want to be growing and learning and making this business better than it was yesterday. And I feel like making it seem as if I've arrived at this, you know, peak of performance or monetary gain or something like that, it allows us, I think, to sometimes get lazy. And so I just continuously keep moving that finish line a little bit further down.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so it seems that there's this time in every entrepreneur's life, not necessarily going forward and through it, but when you look back, when you can realize that there was this specific time where you either had this calling to make this big difference, or you found you simply couldn't work for somebody else. So you were, and you still are for one person, an executive assistant, which lots of people are executive assistants in the freelancing sense that that's what they do. But at some point you made this decision, and now you have 54 VAs working under you.
Right.
You decided to build a business. So could you take me back to that and sort of what your thought process was as that happened?
Yeah. I didn't really have this epiphany moment where I suddenly realized that I had a business on my hands. It built gradually. But rather, I think the biggest thing for me is that I always knew that I was made for more than something than the typical 9-to-5 job. I feel like I've always been unemployable in that I'm really forthright with my opinions. And I would frequently just get frustrated with the leaders of, you know, my corporate organization when they wouldn't take risks or when they wouldn't be open to doing things a new way because, you know, that's the way it's always been done. And I just realized that if I started my own thing, that I could call the shots and that I could decide if we were going to be risky or not. But honestly, John, I think the most hilarious thing, though, is that I'm actually quite conservative in my thinking, especially financially. I'm a planner by nature, I think. And so this journey has been a challenge for me because I think the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur requires such adaptability and, you know, small little pivots all the time. And I think it's funny because I relate more now to my old employers when I give pause to making changes and I just have to laugh and obviously then push through the anxiety or fear and take the leap anyway. But, you know, it frequently works out, but I have to laugh and pause because I used to really give my superiors grief. I'm like, oh, come on, what's the worst thing that can happen? And now I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, this could all fall apart. But I realized that I was an entrepreneur when I was working virtually for a few high profile folks and really people just kept calling me and wanting more and more of my time. And the light bulb sort of went off that I couldn't give any more of my own time away, but I could find people that had the same character and same temperament that I did. And that I could really match the client with the virtual assistant. And that's when I realized after about 9 months of me just having more people work underneath me, I realized, oh my gosh, I think we've got a business on our hands here. We should probably think of a name.
Wow. So literally was it you working for some people and then there was, you had no more time available. So you hired one person to fill the role?
Yeah, I hired one person to really just take on some of the smaller tasks. And of course, you know, I let my clients know I'm going to have this subcontractor underneath me and she's going to handle a few little things for me. And that was great for a little while. And then more people started calling. And so at one point I had like 8 clients and I was farming out a lot of the tasks. And then I just realized, you know what, I don't need to make, you know, all this money for myself. Why don't I just match these people together? I can sure, of course, take a percentage off the top of it, but why don't I connect them with someone great who will be their main point of contact? And then I can help the VA if they get stuck or they don't know what they're doing. I can certainly, I feel like I can teach skills. I just can't teach character. And so that's what I tend to look for in people that I bring on my team is just really high integrity, high level of character and passion. And then, you know, I let them do the tasks and then let the relationship flourish from there.
So is that the model where you're like a matchmaker for?
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually have a lot of more SaaS things in the works for the process because right now it's me and my team and we go through, we have a really thorough onboarding process and vetting process to find the great VAs that are out there. And then I literally take character, temperament, skill set, all those things, and I make a match based on who I feel would not only bring the skills that the client needs, but have the type of personality and poise I think that the clients need to really get along with people because I feel like clients do a really, really great job of figuring out who their ICA is. Like they work so hard to name them and figure out their personality and all that, but nobody does that for who our ideal teammates are. And so that's what I do.
Wow. I love it. And did you go through this typical, I guess freelancers, but also people with small businesses who have to scale from themselves to more people, which is thinking that every one of your customers is really just buying your time. Like they want access to you, Trevinia, not to a team, not to somebody else. And so you think that, well, no, they're not hiring me as a company. They're hiring me. So how can I give them to somebody else?
Yeah, you know, I did initially. And I, at the beginning of my company, I would say probably for the first year and a half, I made myself very accessible to anyone. And I thought, you know, you can call me at any time and I'll be here if you have any questions. And at some point when it, you know, we were getting to 60, 70, 80 clients, I really just decided I can't make myself so available anymore because I'm not able to grow the business if I'm constantly putting out fires and things. And so that's when we really brought on some relationship managers, some team members that work underneath me that they have the same passion for my business that I do and passion for relationship that I do. And so then they're the ones who really help to manage those relationships and hop on calls. And then now, of course, I charge for my time if the clients want to get on with me. So that was a growing process. I started at charging $47 an hour because I was too nervous. I'm like, no, like I told these guys I would be here for them and I didn't want to charge them. And now, of course, those rates are substantially higher for my time. But that's been a growing process too, just learning to value your own time as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's probably one of the hardest aspects. That's when we end up hiring executive VAs and VAs.
Exactly.
Hopefully. But we probably do it all wrong. So we need somebody like you. But now, Trevinia, your one thing is that you work like you're going to lose it and that you can sort of keep the mindset that you haven't arrived. So now every blog post, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule in business. You're supposed to do 20% to get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at. And then you'll understand this. You're supposed to delegate the rest.
Absolutely.
Trevinia, can you tell me something within your business that you are absolutely not good at?
I think the biggest thing that I'm not good at, and this is not necessarily a task, but I stink at work-life balance. I don't really believe that there is such a thing, actually, but to whatever degree there should be some balance, I totally skipped that day at Entrepreneur 101 class. I work way too much, I think. And at times it's at the detriment of my health and really of my family. And so I've tried a few hacks lately, I think, that are definitely helping, like not keeping my phone at the dinner table or in my bedroom at night. And I've implemented really the tactics that I preach to my clients to get help. And finally, this year has been a great year of hiring for us within Priority VA to bring on a team to help me with the things that I'm not interested in doing, really, so I can focus on what I do best. But so I stink at balance for sure. And then another thing that I feel like I'm really terrible at is staying on top of all things social media, because I'm so used to, as a VA, needing to be on social media all the time and moderating Facebook groups and doing those things in my VA life. I don't tend to do it in my Priority VA life. And so I've outsourced to social media so that I don't have to be on Facebook, because it's really just a time suck for me.
Wow. I like that. So you do the social media for clients so much that you don't actually want to do it for yourself.
Exactly.
Do you have an executive VA for yourself?
I do. I actually have two VAs that work underneath me. And then we just hired our third virtual assistant to work with my husband, who works in my business with me.
Wow. Has he always?
He has not, actually. He came home 2 years ago in May and left his cool, cushy corporate job of 15 years with amazing benefits to take this risky endeavor with me. And it's been fun and very challenging, but it's fun because we have a dream of moving one day. We have four children. And we would like to be able to do that, you know, sort of work from wherever thing. And we just couldn't do that if he was tied to his corporate gig.
Wow. All eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's pretty interesting. It was sort of, you know, go big or go home, I think. And we just really realized, you know, do we have a business on our hands that has the ability to provide for our family? And, you know, I don't have all these big goals of, you know, making millions and millions of dollars. I feel like I'm really conservative in the things that I feel would make my life comfortable and happy. And I feel like we can achieve those goals fairly easily by growing our business together.
Wow, I like it. Does he also struggle with this work-life balance?
No, he's way better at it than I am. He's really good. He's just like, turn it off. Like, let's go. Let's go for a walk. Let's go, you know, let's go out to lunch today. And I'm like, hold on, I've got to answer these emails, you know. And so he pushes me, and he's actually a great balance for me because he's an amazing father to our four daughters. And he will frequently tell me, like, it's time to turn it off, Trevinia, let's go. And I'm like, all right, fine, suck it up and go play mom for a bit.
Right. But I mean, there's a real aspect of it that's what got you where you are, right?
Oh, absolutely. I became a VA really as we started growing our family. So when we decided we have two biological children and then one, two via adoption. And when we got the first one via adoption, she just needed a ton of therapy. And I realized like I couldn't be going into the office all the time. And, you know, invariably like the therapist would cancel on the one day I was supposed to be home. And so really the whole point of this was so that I could be available for my family. And my husband has to often remind me of like why we started this. And it was so that I could go on field trips and that if my kids were sick, I wasn't feeling guilty of, you know, needing to call into work that day or begging my bosses to let me work from home that day. And he has to very frequently remind me. And that, obviously it's an issue that I need to work through because I get a lot of value from working. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs do. We get our identity, I think, from our businesses and from working hard. And sometimes we do have to just pause and be like, why am I doing this? You know, the whole point was for my family.
Yeah, exactly. But also it sounds like you love what you do.
Love it. Oh.
And it's that blurring where I think I agree with you that you don't necessarily need the quote unquote work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw a great quote on Twitter by Chris Lima. And he says, I don't have a lifestyle business. I have a business lifestyle.
Ooh, I love that.
I know. I was like, that's so true. And I think it's what pushes some of us to really do it and really push these things to where they need to be to grow and to create really big, cool things around us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's cool. All right, Trivania, let's move on to projects if we can. So projects is a really loose term, but whether a new direction that you want to take the company in, or I guess, as you said, SaaS, taking on a SaaS idea, it's hard as your company's growing, I'm sure that you get inundated with ideas from like externally plus internally of things that you could do, projects you could take on, but obviously you're already struggling with having so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Do you have a process? Is it internal or is it a written process that you have? But how do you decide, Trivania, what a project is that is worth your time, energy, and resources right now?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I am a big, huge fan of Todd Herman, who is a peak performance coach, and he has a program called the 90-Day Year. And I ponied up the money and bought that program about a year ago and really decided that anything in my business was going to fall into this 90-day year model. And so I don't set big 5-year long-term crazy goals. I set 90-day goals. And that's how my husband and I, together with one of our assistants and then our CPA, interestingly, who's actually very involved in our business, we set down some goals and we figure out the metrics of what we want to do in the next 90 days. And for me, what determines if I say yes or no to a project is it going to free up my time or is it just going to make me busier? And so if I spend the next 2 weeks or the next 4 weeks working on a project, will it ultimately buy me more time in the next 90 days? And if the answer is yes, then I typically will say yes to it. The next metric for me is, does it fall in line with our values? And so massively important values to us is commitment and integrity and responsibility and truth. And I get offered a lot of opportunities to partner with people and to, you know, take on different veins of our business. And some of them are a little bit weird and don't fall in line with our values because one of the things that's important to us is commitment. And so I don't do a lot of projects in our business. Interestingly, you can't come and hire Priority VA for a one-time little project because I value long-term collaborative relationships. And so oftentimes, if it doesn't fall into that, then I say no. And I feel like I used to really struggle with, I'm leaving money on the table, you know, and there's a service line here that we need to think about. But it all goes back to, does it fall into our values? And if it doesn't, then I sometimes have to force myself to say no to an idea.
Wow. That makes it hard. And then, so as in buying more time, I think you said?
Uh-huh.
Does it buy you more free time? So is this where SaaS, where you can hopefully get rid of part of your processes and get people to subscribe to a software to do it?
Absolutely. Or you just using a back end software in order to do the matching process for us. Because right now it's me and my team really, in a sense, playing Tetris, you know, with skill sets and temperament and like even where they are located in the country, to really match up. And I really feel like we can use software to do a lot of that for us. And so just really developing that and building that out as an option for this matchmaking process and to automate some of it and enabling a client to be able to, in effect, choose their own. If you think of, you know, match.com or, you know, some of those online dating sites where you list in the criteria and then it sort of pops out some ideal matches for you. That's something that we're toying with and with some development teams.
Wow, that's kind of a brilliant idea. It's such a sticking point for myself, so many friends running businesses, and so many people I talk to on this show is finding VAs. I think because we're always not often that good at hiring properly.
Right.
It's not the VA's fault, it's our fault. And they don't match something right with our business or with our vision or with ourselves.
I think two of the biggest things that I see is that people, yeah, they stink at hiring. You know, they know photography or they know, you know, I don't know, yoga or they know coaching, but they have no idea how to hire someone. So that's a big sticking point. But then I think even more problematic is that they don't know how to delegate and they don't really understand how to work with a team in their business. And they just get this sort of martyrdom syndrome of like, I'll just handle it, I'll do it. And I think that's so detrimental to scaling our businesses. And so that's where someone like me comes in to help walk them through that and then teach them. And then another thing, obviously, that we're working on in this next 90 days is developing a course for people that clients that come on to our team, they would automatically have access to really a delegation model to help them really make the most of this relationship so that we can stop hearing like, I don't really know how to use my VA, and this will help them in that piece. And then for those who aren't a good fit for us, then they would be able to then just purchase that course and then go, you know, use those tools on Fiverr, Upwork, or wherever they want to find their VA if they're not into looking for a long-term collaborative relationship through us.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love it. So something that comes along with projects, unfortunately, is that we decide on a project following your criteria and we sort of put our team and ourselves resources into it. And then sometimes it's just wrong and it just doesn't work, right? And as human beings, as entrepreneurs, one of our greatest struggle is that fear of being wrong, making a mistake and failing, especially in front of our team that we might put into like a direction and push them to go take on that project. And then the metrics just come back and it's not right. So
yeah.
Trevinia, could you walk me through how to be wrong in your business and not have it sort of really side rail you?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people really view being wrong as a threat, right? And honestly, I think that there's times when being wrong causes me more shame than it should. You know, I get embarrassed maybe that I made a decision or I led my team down this path and then have to sort of pony up and say, guys, like I made a wrong call on this. But one thing that I know for sure is that, you know, admitting it quickly and instead of dragging it out and sort of, you know, hoping against hope that things are going to pan out, I call it probably quickly. I'm more comfortable now than I was when I first started this business at pivoting. I used to say like, we haven't given this enough time and we don't know if it's going to work yet. And one of the things that the 90-day year taught me is to just always be reevaluating what we're doing in our business. And oftentimes we do have to course correct because what we're doing, maybe it's like ad targeting that we're doing on Facebook to try and, you know, get new VAs. Or one thing that I absolutely failed miserably on was utilizing services like Indeed or Craigslist to vet people. And, you know, one time we had this flood of hundreds and hundreds of applicants for our VAs. And I thought, oh, like, we're not going to get that many hits. And we got all of these hits and I had no system for going through them at all. And I had to admit to my team, like, I'm sorry, I buried you guys. And we're getting a lot of, you know, junk applicants here. And so that really taught me to, I had to spend more money. I had to go work with a great team at a company called Hire to Fit and really build out a gauntlet for our VAs and figure out, okay, how are we going to prove that these VAs have the skills they say they have? And how are we going to make sure we're hiring to fit for our culture? And that was really hard for me to admit to myself and to my team that I made a bad call. And so I think admitting it is really important. And then I would also add, I think that in this internet age, like I think when everything is up for commentary, right, from the peanut gallery, being wrong can often lead to a lot of haters because sometimes we have to admit that we're wrong to our whole client base or to the whole VA base that we, you know, we serve. And my list is growing rapidly. And sometimes I have to send out an email that just says I got it wrong. And my advice, I think, to people is to not feed the trolls. You know, I think if we make a mistake, admit it and move on and don't add fuel to the fire by arguing with those that are just looking for a fight. And even if those people are on your team.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's true. The trolls, you can't feed them. They're always going to be there. And it's kind of a sign that you're doing things right.
Exactly.
You're noticed by them. But I think admitting that you're wrong and probably admitting that you hopefully learned something from the experience puts a human sort of aspect or twist to it. And people can relate.
Yeah. One of the things I think is really important to me is that more than anything, I'm in the relationship business, you know, and I've got to keep that at the forefront of everything. Instead of me, you know, dying on the sword of like needing to be right, I'd rather die on the sword of like wanting to preserve relationship.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right. This has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Great.
I'm interested to hear, because of your one thing, I'm interested to hear what your take is. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be this gap sometimes we live in. As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we are always trying to work like we're going to lose it. And so we're always projecting our successes into the future. So in 1 month when you hit that metric, in 6 months when you hit this other metric, in a year when you do that, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Except we both know that right before you hit that, you're going to set five bigger, loftier ones into the future. Because we want to get better, we want to grow, and we absolutely have to, I agree. But sometimes we end up living in this gap where no matter what we accomplish, we never see ourselves as successful. From the outside, we look super, super successful, but like walking towards the horizon, the further you walk, the further away it always, always gets.
Yeah.
So I would love, Trevinia, if you could stop right now and turn and look behind you at everything you've accomplished up till now, the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses. But tell me how you feel about everything up till this very moment.
It would probably make me cry if I did that, John, because I never thought, like coming from this corporate environment where it was always like looked down upon to be adventurous and, you know, just sort of stay in your lane, Trevinia, and kind of do what you're supposed to do. You know, the most fascinating thing happened to me. I got to speak at an event in Las Vegas into a room full of, you know, 400 entrepreneurs, which I never thought I'd do. But the most amazing thing happened. I was in an elevator. And again, I'm in Colorado and this event is in Vegas. And I'm in an elevator and I hear somebody say my name. And oftentimes this is what I hear. You're the Trevinia, right? Because like my name is interesting and, you know, so people might recognize me or whatever. But I heard a gentleman say Trevinia and I looked up and it was a former boss of mine. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm actually just got done speaking at this event. And I got to share with him a little bit of where I've come. And in that moment, I think it was finally this moment where I could finally for a minute be proud of myself. And it was interesting. And I texted my husband and I said, like, you'll never guess who I ran into in an elevator. And for that moment, I was able to look back at all of these trials of, you know, pricing problems and internet problems and, you know, VAs that have totally stunk and made me look bad to other people or whatever. And just say, like, I have made progress and I have accomplished some really amazing things in this business. And I think that journaling is a really amazing tool. And I think sometimes just going back and, you know, even just go back to your journal from a year ago today and just read what you were struggling with then. And I think that's when we can look back and see how far we've come and just celebrate it for a minute. You know, for me, it's like I'll have a gin and tonic and woohoo, I'll celebrate. but I think we have to allow ourselves that, because especially with my desire to always be working like I'm going to lose it, I think that it's a struggle to celebrate our wins. And, you know, when I was interviewed on the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast, I'm like, that's a massive accomplishment to be able to say that I was on that show. And I never thought I would be, but I did, and I am. And so, you know, we just got to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So we've got to talk about your business now in passing. Now's when I would love it if you could specifically tell the listener about your business, maybe who it's for, who it's not for, and then where they can find out more about it.
Absolutely. So Priority VA is really meant for those entrepreneurs who know where they're going. They already have a successful business and they're wanting to scale it, but they're not quite sure how to continue doing it on their own. So they know what they need a virtual assistant to do. They just need help finding that perfect virtual assistant for them. And so we most serve people who want long-term collaborative relationships. So you don't want a VA who's just doing tasks and like marking things off, doing sort of more rote tasks. You want somebody who's going to give their opinion and bring ideas to the table and really become an integral part of your business. And so for that, what we've typically found is their entrepreneurs are typically making six figures or more in their business, and they really have a vision for where they're going, and they just need someone to help them. And so we don't do anything for less than 20 hours a month. So 5 hours a week, not a big commitment, but we are definitely more of a boutique agency where I spend my time. I don't just, you know, match you with the next VA in line. I take my time, and a lot of times I'll interview 10, 12, 15 VAs for one position. Even though I know them, I will re-interview them specifically for a client that I have on my roster. And so best way to find us is priorityva.com. And we've got a bunch of, you know, great resources on our website. And I, you know, I blog all about VA topics for both clients and VAs. And if you would like to get in touch with us there, you can go to priorityva.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Trevenia, or Instagram at Trevenia, or Facebook at Priority VA.
Awesome. Awesome. You got at Trevenia.
Just like I do. That. Awesome. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I was really lucky to get that on most things.
That's very cool. So I will link to all of this in the show notes. PriorityVA.com is the website. Make sure you check it out. There's an FAQ, and then there's the blog to get information on hiring VAs and using them. I'm going to track down Todd Herman's The 90 Day Year, as well as Trevenia on Facebook and Twitter for you. So once you're done jogging, working out, driving home, whatever it is you're doing, it'll all be on Hack the Entrepreneur for you. Trevenia, once again, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for sharing with me and the listener. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
I really appreciate it, John. It's my honor to be here.
Trevenia, thank you so much for joining me. That was a fun conversation. I love the story of it's freelancing. And freelancing, most people get stuck, whether it's freelancing graphic design or web development or as an assistant. It's hard to get out of that cycle and to sort of pull yourself back, give that perspective, and create a business. And now 54 VAs working under you. It's brilliant. I love it. So as much as I enjoyed the conversation while I was in it, I really, really enjoyed going back and listening to it again. Because as I did, I got this different perspective on some of the answers and responses that Trevenia gave me during the conversation. And in going back and listening, I noticed one thing that Trevenia said. I think it slipped by the first time I listened, but when I went back, it was this one thing that she said that was so very, very clear. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Probably for the first year and a half, I made myself very accessible to anyone. And I thought, you know, you can call me at any time and I'll be here if you have any questions. And at some point when it, you know, we were getting to 60, 70, 80 clients, I really just decided I can't make myself so available anymore, because I'm not able to grow the business if I'm constantly putting out fires.
And that's the hack. Trevenia, Trevenia, Trevenia. I really like this. This, you've managed, as I've said, the idea of freelancing as an assistant to scaling up from having one client yourself or two clients to, as you say, 60 to 70 to 80 clients at one point, where you were still almost treating it like they were your client. They are your clients, but that you were their executive assistant. And you were fully accessible for the first year and a half. And then you realized to scale up, you had to remove the bottleneck, which was yourself. So many of us get stuck always being that bottleneck. You later on in the conversation, you talk about delegation and how we have such trouble with it as entrepreneurs, with that delegation, and how we just decide we'll just do it ourselves. That's where we lose scale, right? That's where we lose my, say, half hour here could scale into 5 hours leverage with other people working on those ideas. We just feel that we can do it ourselves. And it's never intentional that it's done. And I'm sure up to that 60, 70, 80 clients, that was what got you to that point. And so you keep going and you want to keep going. There's a great book I'm about halfway through right now. I cannot remember his name, the author, but it's called What Got You Here Won't Get You to There. And it's an interesting take on this idea. So the idea that Trevinia started as an executive assistant to one or two people, scaled up to 60 or 70 or 80 clients, massive, that you would think the natural tendency is to think that I need to just do more of what I'm doing to get where I want to go, because that's already got me here. But you need to understand that in almost every single case, that what got you to where you are now will not get you actually to where you want to be. It's not just doing more of what you do. It's actually doing completely different things and changing your whole outlook, perspective, and output within your life and your business. I will find a link for this book, and I'll link to it if you want to give it a read. But this is an excellent example by Trevinia of that thinking. And I'm so happy that you made that realization for yourself and for your business, Trevinia, because that is what's going to allow you to now scale. Thank you so much. Well, that was a lot of fun. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure to stop by there, get on the email list, and get my newsletter every Sunday. I would love to have you on there and for you to be able to receive it. Also, if you are on any sort of Apple device or you subscribe to this podcast through iTunes, a review would also be very, very, very helpful right now. HackTheEntrepreneur.com/review is a special magical sort of link that will take you instantly to the page where you can leave a review immediately there. Sometimes it's kind of weird and hard and nebulous to find your way through iTunes to where you can leave a rating or review, but HackTheEntrepreneur.com/review will take you right there. It's really cool if you do it on an iPhone, like right now as you're listening. It'll take you like 34 seconds, probably. All right. This has been fun. Coming up very shortly, I will be back in Canada. So I will be back to publishing on a regular schedule. This erratic and sporadic publishing schedule will be wrapping up, and we'll be back to full production in July. So I look forward to it, and I hope you do too. So until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.